Now, some of you ladies who are at the women's Bible study, at least those of you who were there this last Wednesday, heard me make a statement that I am going to have to explain at great length now. Here's what I said. Well, ladies, I feel like I've come to know you pretty well, and I've been with you ladies almost more than any other group of people in the whole coastlands. And I just wanted you to be the first to know that you're going to hear me this Sunday morning lean on the congregation more heavily than you've ever heard me lean upon them. And I just want you to be prepared, because our church is growing real fast, and we just don't even have enough Sunday school workers, and we don't have enough people baking goodies in between services, and we don't have enough people setting up and stuff like that. And you're going to hear me really lean into the congregation and get them to start serving a bit more. Well, the ladies were very polite, as they usually are, and they kind of smiled at me, and you know, and it was just marvelous to see what happened. You know, some of the ladies said, well, what needs to be done? And I said, well, for instance, we need to have this place decorated for Christmas. I mean, we don't want to come in here every Sunday morning in the month of December and just, well, I didn't even notice that one. If you have the interpretation for that, share it with an usher. And he'll usher you out of here, because there isn't an interpretation for that. But, you know, we need to have this place really decorated up nicely and things like that. And, boy, before I knew it, there was a whole crew of these ladies that got together, and they had it all, oh, I know, we'll do this, we'll do that, and had it all squared away. So anyways, I received a phone call. I don't remember if it was that day, I think it was the next day. And one of these lovely ladies was wanting to talk to me. And I when I finally got back to her on the phone and talked to her, I could tell she was a little bit nervous talking to me, you know, because I'm the pastor, you know. And she was so gracious and so sweet and so loving about it. But she said, you know, Daniel, some of us felt a little bit badly about what you were saying, because one of the things that we enjoyed so much when we first came to be a part of the coastlands was that you really invited us just to rest. And many of us had been burned out from serving and working and going like that. And it was so wonderful just to come and to be told that you could just rest here. And she said, I'm just sure that there's a lot of people that will want to serve and do want to serve. And maybe we just haven't known the best way to go about it. We haven't even known who to contact. And she said, I would just hate to hear you beat the sheep or you know, get on the sheep like that. And I thought, oh, yes, well spoken. And I thanked her, and I began to realize at that point, and especially as I talked to my wife a bit more, I began to realize, you know, that's really true. That's really true. So I purposely did not even say anything this morning that would in any way imply that I was leaning on the sheep. But the simple truth is that since the beginning of September, our church has actually doubled in size and gone from an average attendance Sunday morning of 200 to an average Sunday morning attendance of 400. And we rejoice in the Lord for His goodness and His grace, that He would count us in any way worthy to have a degree of input into people's lives. But what happens then is that the number of children who end up in the Sunday school classrooms multiplies significantly. And we've had several people who were being teachers in the Sunday school of recent date. I don't know if these two facts are connected to one another, but several people who were teachers, especially in the under six ages, you know, that marvelous, peculiar aging of... They just said, well, I think we're going to have to pull out and not teach the Sunday school. And, you know, I'm sure they're for very good reasons and legitimate reasons. And yet some of our little children now are coming on Sunday mornings, and they're grabbing anyone who even looks familiar, and they're saying, are you going to be our teacher this morning? And I thought, Lord, how can I as a pastor alert the people to the things that they might be able to do that would be a blessing not only to them, but a blessing to these little children who are saying things like that? And I don't know if you've noticed, we've actually begun rationing the goodies in between services. There's usually a mean usher that stands there and as the kids come up, and in fact, I heard one of the ushers say this today, and it was right to say, I'm sure, but he said, how many of you had? Is that your first one? Poor kid is like... But But if we don't ask the children if that's their first one, you know, they just come and get handfuls. And some parents, I've even heard some parents say, well, you know, I have to get up so early to go to this church. I don't have time to give my kids anything to eat. So the church ought to provide even more. Well, you can't believe I did that. Well, I can't believe somebody would say that. That's just rude. Well, the truth of the matter is that we have lots of exciting opportunities to use your God-given person. But there is a scriptural basis for all this, and that's where we are here in Acts chapter 6. And it begins with this. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing or were multiplying in number, a complaint rose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples, or the multitude, and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the statement found approval in the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timian, Parmenius, Nicholas, a proselyte in Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. And they put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. And of course, the story goes on to talk about what happened to Stephen and how he wanted to not defend himself, but to preach the gospel, even use this opportunity to proclaim the goodness of Jesus. And of course, he ended up being killed. Now, the reason that I read the whole chapter rather than just the first few verses, which most logically seem to relate to the need for people to join alongside and to join together to serve, that the whole body might be edified, is to point out something that very many people, I think, neglect to understand. And that is that God does not really have in His mind a hierarchy of those things which are really spiritual to do, like praying and preaching the Word, and those things that are, well, not so spiritual, kind of, well, you know, just necessary, mundane kinds of things that have to be done. And the Bible very clearly says in the book of 1 Corinthians that the very ones who seem to have the most place or the most honor, that honor is really given to them because in a sense they're the least necessary ones. And he says in the way that we think about things, the ones or the people who are serving who seem to have the least, significance of ministry, he says those are the ones upon whom we, as mighty and eminent apostles, those are the ones upon whom we bestow more abundant honor. And of course, we know how Jesus came not to be served himself, but to always be a servant. And I'm reminded of that time when Jesus was, he took that towel and he girded himself about and he was stepping down, bending down to begin washing the disciples' feet. And of course, this was an alarming thing to the disciples. You have to always remember, every time you read the New Testament, that the poor disciples did not have a New Testament to study. This was the first time they ever experienced anything like this, and they didn't know about first foot washing, you know, that would become a Christian rite or something later on. But you know, here they were sitting around eating, and all of a sudden Jesus, their master, Jesus, their Lord, Jesus, the one that they called Rabbi, Jesus, the one that they had come to believe, this man is Messiah. Oh, a man was taking a basin of water and a towel, and he was coming around and starting to wash their feet. And the disciples were just sure there was something wrong here. And you could see them draw their feet away like, oh, Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. Lord, that's just unbecoming. That's not spiritual. I mean, remember, you're Messiah. Remember, you're the promised one. You're the anointed one, remember? And you don't get your hands wet and your hands dirty. And must have been a rather thing to do. I mean, their feet got very dirty. And there Jesus was just bending down and taking care of this situation. And he said a very interesting thing to them. He says, if you don't let me serve you this way, if you don't let me, the one that you call Lord, wash your feet, which was not a peculiar custom. I mean, that was something that they did all the time. When someone came into your home as a proper host or hostess, you would see fit that their feet were being washed. But that was usually something that was reserved for the servants. But the host, the master, wanted to wash their feet. And they said, well, never, Lord, should you wash our feet. And he said, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, then I want you to let you know something, that you have no part in me. If you don't let me serve you this way, then you've missed the whole program. See, Jesus was saying, I didn't come to be this great guru who would drive around in 19 Rolls Royces. That's quite a feat. And my hat goes off to any man that can drive 19 Rolls Royces at one time. Jesus didn't come to be this great lofty figure off in the distance. Jesus didn't come even to be a great preacher. He didn't come to be the mighty man of faith and power doing miracles. Jesus came to die. That's the whole reason he came. And he came to die that through the giving of himself, that others would be brought back to life. And the point is here that Stephen, now remember they said, well, look, you could read this wrong and say, well, we just need people to wait on tables. I mean, we need some waiters here. Let's get some waiters. Now, I see you worked in food service once before, and brother, I perceive that this is really a ministry that you have, to wait on tables. Now, they didn't go after people and say, well, you seem to have a possibility of doing this, so let's get you to do it. They chose people, and how was it that they chose them? What were they looking for in these people who were simply being asked to actually make sure that none of the widows got overlooked in the distribution of the food? And what they looked for was not a background in food service. What they looked for was not someone who had a widowed, you know, mother and could kind of relate to widows, and so we'll take you along. They didn't look for people who had an actual stoop to their back that could fit well wiping these tables. They looked for people who were full of the Holy Spirit. They looked for people who had the dynamic of God's Spirit working in them and through them. And this guy, Stephen, one of these guys, who was just called upon to do as simple and as menial a task as to, you know, count the rations, as it were, to make sure everybody got fed. There's a whole chapter and a half, really almost two chapters, that's devoted to this man and the dynamic of what he accomplished. That he was out performing miracles. And you see, the great mistake that so many people make is to think that somehow, well, if I get locked into doing something like actually teaching Sunday school for a six-month period, maybe God will come with my ministry and he'll look for me in the main service and I won't be there. And then where will I be? I'll teach Sunday school the rest of my life. I want you to know I really am persuaded of far better things for each of you. And what the Lord has really shown me since really that phone call, for which I'm so very grateful that lady had the conviction and the courage to call me and to say, Daniel, think about this again. And it was done in such a marvelous spirit. She wasn't saying, well, you know, when I first came here, everything was just fine. Now you're just laying this heavy trip on me. I truly believe that this woman desperately wanted to be wrong. And yet she couldn't help but say what she felt was right. And I so appreciate that. But what I've come to realize is that A lot of times we have not because we ask not. And in the great growth that's taken place in our body, I began to realize that the vast majority of the people wouldn't even know who to go to if they wanted to work in Sunday school, or where to go if they wanted to bring their goodies. Now it is true that some of you lovely, beloved sheep who have said that you would do certain things have found your energy, shall we say, waning a bit, and your mind growing foggy with age or something, and that you have forgotten some of your responsibilities that you took upon yourself. So, you know, there's just a little nudge there for you to remember if you've agreed to do something, you really ought to do it. And so what we are going to do over the next couple of weeks is to prepare a kind of a piece of paper, a statement that will allow you who have a heart to want to begin giving and serving to be contacted so that your desire to serve this body can really be made use of. And you know, one of the things that so many people said in the early days to us was that, you know, I just like so much when I come here, it's like a big family and everybody pitches in and does everything together. And, you know, I want to maintain that kind of a family. And even if we grow to be 4,000 people, can you imagine what 4,000 people unleashed on one another can do? It could really be exciting. You think things are stirred now. I mean, wow, it could really be neat. And it was so curious to me that the disciples found themselves in this very quandary that we're in that they were at a time of great multiplication. And that word for increasing, it's kind of an exponential growth. It's not growth. It's not just they were many added to their number, but they were multiplying. And they're just spreading out in great numbers. And there arose a legitimate complaint. And there have arisen some legitimate complaints that these little children, I mean, I have one of my children in that age category. And when I heard that we didn't have in either the first or the second service someone who was willing to be a teacher, I don't mean a helper, because we have several helpers that have been very faithful, but I mean someone who would take the time to, even just every other week, if not every week, prepare a lesson for these darling little kids. I thought, you mean in our whole church that we don't have somebody that could see that as so important? And to think my daughter and some of your daughters or sons are, you know, when we say goodbye to them, they feel like they're walking into the wild blue unknown yonder. We could really land a guilt trip now, you know. My wife's looking at me like I kind of am. And my old pastor's heart just said, oh, well, man, we just, you know, we need to really shake some cages here a little bit. Well, guess whose cage got shook? C'est moi. I don't ever want to be guilty of driving sheep with a cattle prod or laying heavy kind of guilty sort of things on people. When the truth of the matter is that I'm sure that there are people who have a burden to do everything that needs to be done in this body. And you're going to be hearing much more about this. Now, a few weeks ago, in fact, we even passed out a sheet of paper and had everybody sign up and all that. But it was actually a couple of months ago. And since then, things have just grown so much. And we want to give you an opportunity to be a Stephen or a Stephanie, as the case may be. And I like so much that these people were commissioned for the work that they were going to be doing. And I'm sure that they must have had all sorts of organizational difficulties to deal with too in this early church. And it's an exciting, exciting place to be in. So that is as much as you're going to hear me say about, well, what we ought to do to serve. And I'm reminded of a scripture that says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do that heartily as unto the Lord. And I do want to reiterate that thing that this woman said to me, that if you're coming and you've just come to be a part of the Coastlands, enjoy your rest. It won't last forever. Oh, my heart sometimes just gets so full to think of the abundance that God wants to bring to your life. And to have us be like David cried out, O Lord, my cup overfloweth. to have us be people who have so much blessing and life and joy and the purposes of God just splashing down inside of us, that we're just these cups that are sloshing over on one another with everything of goodness and everything of life. And that's how it was meant to be, not drilling a hole in the bottom of the cup and sucking it for all that it's worth. And sometimes we just need to be patched up until that level of life and joy can be filled up and we start spilling over. And you'll know when it's time. You know, we don't keep cards on you. That might not be a bad idea. Have a little computer, you know. I see you came for the first time June 30th. Yes, 3 months later. You'll know. You'll find yourself wanting to do something. And if in our communication, as inadequate as it is, or you know, you don't know what else to do, you just say, hey, I just want to do something and I don't know what. If you'll call church office, that number on your screen, even now, 688-5775. Operators are standing by to take your call. No pledge is too small of your time. Call and the lady you want to talk to, her name is Michelle. Just call and say, Michelle, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want to do something. And you'll hear a very knowing voice reply back, very good, that's your name and your phone number. Mike, you're looking at me like you want to try to pass those things out.
We should.
We should. Trust you? I third it. I fourth it. Okay. These are the sheets that we... Are these the new ones?
No, but Gary did these before you left.
Oh, marvelous. What you are about to see is not rehearsed. Well, this is we were gonna make up this whole sheet, and Gary went ahead and did this, and how sweet of him. So let's go ahead and pass those out, Mike, if you would now. And this gives a list of a lot of the kinds of things that general categories of people that we will need to help. And you can just sign up for whatever it is that you want to. Again, if you're relatively new to our body, please don't sign up yet. We really want you to rest. We really mean that. This would be for people who have been around our body for, you know, a month or 2 months or something, and they're starting to feel like, I would really like to do something. Or people who aren't already doing something. So don't feel like if you don't take one, your neighbor's going to say, yeah, boy, brother, because they really won't. Nancy, what are you flashing to me? I mean, you think we ought to...
Ready to do it? Do it. I mean, you've been here 2 weeks.
Okay, do you hear the question? She's saying, what about people that haven't been around for 3 months or so and yet they want to start serving and they want to start helping? My response is, fine, as long as you're wanting to help not out of frustration. I don't know if that's... Some people are frustrated, and so they feel like, you know, God's going to be mad at them if they don't do something, or they've always led, you know, a worship group, and so they guess they better do it right now. If you really feel like the Lord is saying, yeah, go ahead and sign up and be a part of this, then that would be absolutely great. I love Sunday night services. They're so informal. You're all looking, well, I'll tell you what, you can go ahead and just fill those out right now, and if you want to, and then we'll collect them a little bit later, and you'll start to get a phone. Gary, would you like to say something? This is Gary Craig. Hello, Gary. Way to go, Gary. Everybody's passing them. Do you want to say anything?
This is one of those things, the more you say, the worse.
Y'all want to hear what my wife just said to me?
Yes.
I think you ought to have the benefit of her wisdom. She said to me, un. I said, what? She says, this is one of those kind of things, the more you say, the worse that it gets. Let's sing a song, Brad. We really should sing a song anyways. I don't know, you think of the song. Come on up there. If you're visiting us, it's usually like this. We don't want you to be fooled into coming back under false pretenses to think maybe we had a bad night or something. No, this is it. This is it. Hallelujah. So, will you accept my apology for wanting to lean upon you when there really was nothing to lean about except that it's one of those things, you grow fast and everything doesn't get all put together at one time. And, I just want to mention also one last thing since we're on this kind of thing. Some of us are neglecting to keep close tabs on our children. And we just want to remind you that this facility, this campus, is an unsecured area. And we have no way of knowing week by week who's around and who isn't around. And although we would like to think the best of all people, you just can't count on the fact that any adult that's mingling around is a part of this body and that they're born again and love Jesus and all like that. We just plain don't know. And of course, we're not trying to cast judgments on anybody. But I want to remind you that you should know where your children are and not let them wander off on their own. And it's really better if you even take them to the restroom. Don't just send them off to the restroom and tell them to go, because we just honestly don't know. And that's not said to breed any kind of fear in your heart, but we need to be wise and shrewd as well. But one of the things that really makes, well, two things that make me really happy is to see the growth of our junior high and high school group. And I remember early on there was like, we had maybe two or three people in that whole group, and now it's growing to be quite a viable ministry of its own, and we're really thrilled about that. And the other thing, I have heard so many comments from the children about how much they like and enjoy Sunday school. So if you want to get in on a really great blessing, I would encourage you to do that. Well, Brad, you better bail me out and sing a song here.